How did you do that? How did you do
Oh,
that? How did
I've
they
been
know
looking
so
forward to that
much about me?
reaction.
Who are they? Because I've got so many questions right now.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you got your
What's
special
going
shirt
on?
on?
Do you know what happened to me today? I was wearing this shirt down in the post office and I got hit on wearing this shirt.
Oh, wow. By a male or a female or both?
It was a male. Yeah.
Wow. With it, Adam Shell?
It's just some random gay guy in the post office queue. Bless his heart, but
Wait, oh, actually, I thought you were okay. I thought you were like joking,
I'm
like
not
someone
joking.
recognized
No,
you.
it seriously happened. Yes, I was in the post office
Oh,
queue today.
okay.
And this guy with a big lisp said that I look that hey, that's a cute shirt. And
Oh.
I went, thanks. It's an AI generated chameleon. It's the only thing I can think to say. He just turns around and walks. I can't even get cracked on too. It's ridiculous.
Wow, I can't say that's ever happened to me.
Well, you
You're
know.
doing something right. It's probably because I'm 54. I'm too old, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Happy
Yeah.
birthday, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. No one in the group posted. I was kind of devastated about that. But it's fine, whatever. Not a big deal.
I don't know why people did it. That's really weird.
Well,
Anyway.
actually, you know, the funny thing is, everyone in this entire house forgot, including myself. And
That
I
it was your
only,
birthday.
yeah. And I only found out because I got a message from a guy on Facebook who I met once many years ago, congratulating me on my birthday. And then I was like, oh shit,
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
it is my birthday. Anyway, I've got a burly
Well.
cerveza with lime,
Oh.
with a twist
Nice.
of real lime. It's twisted in there.
You've been big on the burly beers lately, right?
I got a whole case. It was fucking awesome.
I've got the Bright Star Schwarz beer here,
Oh,
thanks to
nice. Let's get a little photo of that.
thanks to our friends at Rallings, a
Whoops.
kind of a sponsored beer.
How come the Railings guys don't give me any beers?
Because I'm cute.
Yeah. It's a theme of the episode.
Yeah,
For
that's
sure.
it. I'm cute. That's all there is to it. And I think I've actually see the good thing is
Oh, shit, look at that.
I'm only drinking dark beer tonight.
Wow.
But actually, I think this glass is actually really clean. And I actually put in the effort to do the Adam Shelb cleaning method,
Process.
and it's
Nice.
worked.
Very good. What's been happening? You've been busy?
It's been a huge week, mate. It's been massive. What's been going on? It's the Tucky Moore intensive this week.
Right.
Yesterday, this morning, and tomorrow morning, 3 days.
So where's that?
They're in Noosa, but this one's a virtual one. So he has all these
Ah.
board rumors, the guys who are doing above $1 million a year,
Yeah.
up in Noosa, flying in from all over the world, and all the black belt people are on virtual, which is fine. I don't mind.
Nice. Yeah.
And so he's doing, oh, you know Ed Dale, don't you?
Yeah.
He's cool. He loves
He is
tech.
cool.
You should have seen what he did yesterday. He had the Apple virtual reality thingamajigs on,
Oh, wow. Vision Pro.
right? The Vision Pro, yeah. And he was on the Zoom call, and you could see his face, and it was like a ghost face sort of thing. It was like all blurred around the
Yeah.
outside, but he was wearing the Vision Pro, but his presence on Zoom was normal. It
Right.
was AI generated because I think there's a camera. The camera's inside the thing,
Yes.
and then he shared his screen. You could actually see what he was seeing, and so basically
Oh,
he had all
cool.
these things all around that he could drag, and I was just like, "Welcome to the future." It was just insane.
That is
So
cool.
that's what
Yeah.
he does. He's just big into the tech, all the AI, and all that sort of stuff,
Yeah, he was
and
like the
that's his
first
job
like
with.
the what's his job now? What's he doing up?
Well, that he works for Taki, so.
Really? Wow. That is amazing.
So he works for Taki. He does all of the technology side of the business. So he has, developed the CRM that all the black belt people get as part of being part of black belt. And he does the AI stuff. He's created a lot of really cool AI tools in black belt. And he's done pretty good.
He was like the first online marketing person that I ever followed. He used to do a thing called the challenge, the 30-day challenge, and then it turned into the challenge, I think. And it was kind of like, how do you make your first dollar online? This is like in the not the 90s, it would have been like the early 2000s, but he was like the first guy. And I met him many years after that started, and we just kind of stayed online friends, but still doing the damn thing. Good on him.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. He's a really good bloke. So yeah, so oh there's so there's been that. What else have been doing? I've basically rewritten pretty much every recipe for brownstone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a work in progress. And then what else have we been doing? Oh, just recording and editing a whole bunch of social media content and just heaps. Teaching on Monday, field trip next Monday.
Oh, go on.
Having beers at the club bar tomorrow. If any of the 12 like cheap beer, come and join us at the club bar at TAFE South Bank at
Oh, nice.
4 p.m. till 6 p.m. That's
Who
$4
doesn't like cheap
schooners.
beer? Oh, my God.
All my students. Literally, we've got
Don't
three cohorts of 10 students. You know how many of them are showing up for cheap beers on a Friday afternoon?
all of them?
Zero.
Oh no.
So us teachers and all the staff, we're gonna get we're gonna have a drink.
Nice. Why are they showing up? I would go to that. That sounds sick.
I don't know. It's really weird. It's I we're gonna like we're gonna yeah, we'll make it up to them Monday, I think. So field trip on Monday should be good.
Nice. Sounds good. All right, should we get into the news?
Absolutely. I need to find the link. There it is. Found it.
This
What's
is
been going on?
another week of craft beer being in the mainstream media. So the ABC had an article about three people getting in trouble for stealing kegs. So remember, like, Hawkers had the photo of the or the video footage of someone stealing their kegs. It was a big
Yeah, in front of
thing.
the hawker's car. Yeah.
Yeah, and they caught these fuckers.
Good.
$60,000 worth of kegs.
Sorry, the book of them. I don't know how you make money. You're like, that's just a very laborious way to make money.
I know. Who do they sell them
It's like
to?
stealing copper wire and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's like you can do it. Yeah, it's worth money, like stainless steel, but $2,000 a ton or something like that.
Oh, I
So
see.
the
They
keg's
sell
worth
them
it.
as scrap metal. Yeah, that's just
It's got to sell
stupid.
them scrap metal. And it's just
Yeah,
like,
that's really
fucking
stupid.
why?
I mean, they're basically doing what the recycled can people are doing. Just go and take it from one place, put it in another place, and get paid 5 cents for doing it.
Yeah, that's
Except it's
right.
illegal, and they won't go to jail. They'll
That's
probably
right.
be fine.
Yes. Yeah. So, oh, it's good they caught them.
Yeah.
I hope, it's a deterrent and all that sort of thing. And yeah, it's good to see. Good to see.
Agreed. By the way, I've got a surprise. Do you remember I told you I've got
I love surprises.
a Hendo Reacts surprise for you tonight,
Right. Okay. Are
right? So this is my, I
we
should have
doing it
said it at the
now?
start of the episode. No, but I'm just saying, for people who are listening to the episode now,
Stay tuned
stay
for
till the
Hendo
end
Reacts.
because there is a surprise. I've been
There's a
teasing it for the last
surprise.
couple of weeks.
Rightio.
I was ready yesterday. Sorry, last week, the day after we recorded, but timing didn't work out. So anyway,
Okay.
and you have no idea what it is, so
I have no idea what
that's
it
fine.
is. I'm just, know the rules.
All right, Akasha just went into VA about an hour before us recording this podcast.
Yes. That's very sad
I've
to hear.
yes, I mean we've talked about not talking too much about VAs, but I've made some notes about this
Just,
one.
yes.
This is a brewery that raised $1.7 million via equity crowdfunding in June 2022. So
22.
22, so 18 months ago.
Right.
I just had a look at it before this because we actually covered this on the podcast because we were doing this podcast then when they did the crowdfunding, when them and Bridge Road did it.
Yeah. What did we say then?
Well, we didn't talk too much about it because I think it was like the VA of 2022. It was like another brewery doing crowdfunding. Do we really need to talk about it? You'd said your piece about crowdfunding. I'd said mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you said to invest in Bridge Road because Ben Krause knows what he's doing, and then you didn't talk about Kasha. Mm. But this one, they were doing about $4 million in revenue. I just looked at their financials just before this from when they did that crowdfunding round. They had negative cash flow. They had a negative balance sheet. They were unprofitable.
Yep.
They were selling 80% of their revenue, you know, the beer revenue and pack product.
Yep.
$15 million valuation, raised $1.7 million, which is the exact sort of business that we've been talking about on this show that is going to really struggle at the moment.
Yes.
Selling all your stuff in pack, competing with the big majors.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything's gone up. But they mentioned at the time the brewer is predicting revenues of $4.3 million and return to EBITDA growth, upping this to $6 million and $500,000 EBITDA in 2023. So in 2022, they thought the following year they'd make $500,000 profit. And instead, you know, not long into the year after, they can't even pay their invoices.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fucking wild. It's the quickest turnaround
I've
seen.
It's a big, up and over, you know? I don't know too much about, because I haven't been to Sydney since before the pandemic, and I really should go back and visit. So, but I don't know too much about the Sydney scene and that sort of thing. But I know Dave Patton, he's a bloody good bloke, and I'm sure he's worked his ass off. And, you know, they didn't really say much in the press release as to what the reasons were. This might
Where
be
Where is
another...
the press release? I can't find anything on it. Like, I saw the Crafty Pint article, but...
Yeah, well, the press release is at the bottom, copy-pasted in there.
Is it? So that link I've got on there is that Crafty Pint article?
Yeah, I think they... the media release is at the bottom.
Oh yeah. Yeah, very short. And nothing on their website, nothing on their social media, nothing, just business as usual. That barrel thing was interesting too, because that's something we tried at Black Ops and it just didn't work.
The barrel room thing,
yeah. And they did the same thing, I think, last year to try and get, I guess, to get more taproom revenue, but I don't know anything about that taproom. I've never been there. But
yes,
perhaps it didn't work for them either. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sad, but we'll see what happens. Well, the good thing is Big Shed come out of VA today.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Which is good. I think that's a very positive story, to be fair, because, you know, their messaging around that was super positive. And, you know, they got a whole bunch of people, you know, in the Adelaide broader community, not just the beer community, to come and like support them, buy beer. They had some pretty big weekends in the bar and all that sort of stuff, and suppliers are being very supportive and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's good to see the Jason Craig getting the business back out and dusting themselves off and getting back on their feet and press on.
They've got it's another one I haven't been to, but there would be pretty high sort of taproom hospo revenue, would they, Big Shed, as opposed to sort of pack? Or?
Well, so their issue was that they invested big time in the big shed from moving around the corner and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then just as they opened, then lockdowns happened.
Mm.
So they were really stuck with the expense of the tap room, and no one to fill it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's really tough. And you know, it's hard to get back on your feet after something like that. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. You sent me this, Spreading the Indie Love. Should we do a little share screen on this?
Because I'll share screen,
I actually haven't watched this.
I'll share, Sam. Hang on a second, one moment. Share screen, share sound. I hope we don't get copyright struck by the IBA.
Yeah, I think we got copyright struck immediately after I published last week's episode, but
Yeah, good on you, mate.
you get that. Sorry about
Anyway,
that.
let's have a look.
Hi, I'm an indie brewer.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Australian-owned independent breweries are facing many challenges. But you can make a difference. When considering your next beer purchase, look for the Independent Seal. Online, in-store, or at your local pub. Support a local, family-owned business that is the heart of your community. Feel the satisfaction of helping a fellow Aussie while enjoying a super flavoursome beer crafted with love. Your choice today safeguards tradition and ensures you continue to have a choice for your beer offering. Help us save the small beer industry by always asking for indie beer. Look for the Independent Seal. Cheers.
Bloody excellent. What do you think?
I thought the copy was good. The words were good.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they're focusing on. I just think a shift is occurring at the point where, like, there's only so much you can kind of beg people to support you as opposed to offering them an offer that they see as valuable.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, you know, like people, yeah. People think independent and local is important, but no one's going to buy a 4-pack of something when they can buy a 6-pack for the same price that's just as good, regardless of how local or how independent or anything else it is. And
yes.
So my feeling is the way the industry is going is it is going more local and smaller. And these companies that are local and smaller and actually offer something, like if you're close to a brew pub, a venue or a brewery, what you get as a consumer when you go to that place, like for example, if you go to Hiker, the experience you get there compared to going to whatever pub is in Salisbury, they're two very different things. You get, for the right person, you get much more value going to Hiker. You don't pay that much more, you get a much better experience, right? But if you go to a bottle shop and you buy an Akasha Super Chill versus Bolter, a Stonewood Pack Ale or whatever, I'm not that convinced that you're getting much more value. You're getting less value in my mind.
You're saying the value is in the venue and the experience.
I think so.
Where you feel the local brand rather than sort of like the take-home thing. I think that's fair. I mean that's a fair assessment there, because you've got to think, you know, the thing is I liked the ad. I thought it was good. I watched it a couple of times, and you know, Will did a great job there, you know, speaking very succinctly about the challenges in the industry and that sort of thing. And I kind of watched it, and then I was thinking about it like the next day, yesterday, and I was like, didn't mention, like, I think the thing that would be attractive to or really elicit an emotional response from the broader beer drinking public, not craft beer, is the fact that all independent beer is Australian, whereas all of the major brands are not Australian.
That's true.
And then I went back and watched it again, and Will says a couple of times it's Australian, that sort of thing. And I think, you know, originally I was like, oh, they should push the Australian thing a bit more, but I think it would have muddled the message. So I think for what it is, I think it's
but
one
I think
of the best
even,
pieces.
But I think even the Australian thing, like, okay, I fully get what you're saying. There's, people are going to support Australian and all of that. But that's something that was tried years and years and years ago, and people thought, you know, like Dick Smith was doing that. He was like, people are going to buy it because it's Australian. But at the end of the day, if it's not value, if it doesn't offer value to people, they won't buy it for that reason. I think they'll buy it for that reason if it's in other ways good value. And so that's why I thought it's interesting in that ad, if that is an ad. It's an ad, right? It's not like a piece of content.
It's a piece of content.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's a very good piece of content, but I think it, as an ad, I thought it was interesting that that they focus on the local aspect of it, because that to me is something that people, that's kind of like, this is where it's more valuable. But the other message of like, support us, we need your help, we're fucked, the government sucks, that's just turning the whole thing into a charity. And I just don't think it's going to work.
I think as a piece of comms from the IBA, it's probably one of the the best and most clearest piece of comms that the IBA have done in a long time, and I commend them for it, because something as short and as snappy as that in a 60-second piece told much more of a story about independent beer than the thing last year with the posters and the thing that didn't even say the word beer on it and that sort of thing.
But who's going to watch that? Comms, yes. Ad, yes.
I think it's just a piece that's meant to be shared on social media and that sort of thing. But I would say
no one's sharing it, right? Isn't like
I've seen it quite a bit.
Have you?
Yeah. I've seen it quite a bit being shared.
I'm looking at it now. It's got 350 views.
Yeah, but that's YouTube though. I'm seeing this on Instagram.
Are you?
Hmm. Are you not seeing it on TikTok? Where you hang out.
No, I don't. And this is the thing with content, and like, I don't want to bag out the IBA because I know, like, for lots and lots of good reasons, I don't want to do that. But content is fucking hard, as you know, and as I know.
Of course.
I feel like this is an ad, and it's a good ad. The copy is really well done. The visuals are good. It's a good message, but it's not good content because no one's going to watch it. No one's going to share it. The only people that are going to share it are people who are already on board. You know what I mean?
And
doing content that other people are going to see is real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what could, in your opinion, what could the IBA do better?
Well, I thought, I don't know if the IBA can do it, but one idea was a podcast. I think doing a podcast of interesting stories would be good. Short form video, I think. I think the bits that's missing from that particular video is it's not entertaining. And that is just like, if you look at your content feed, you tell me, what does your feed look like? Your TikTok, or you don't like TikTok, but your Instagram feed. Yeah. Like, what do you see on there when you see the videos that are playing? Like,
well, when I'm looking at stuff.
Yeah, like scrolling through reels or whatever.
Oh, I don't scroll through reels. I watch stories quite a bit.
Okay, even stories. Then what are the kind of things that float to the top of your stories?
It's been pretty well manicured as to what my friends are doing. It might be, Karen posting a meme or something. I even posted.
Why does Karen's story float to the top of your Instagram ahead of other people's?
That's just what Instagram does.
No. Instagram's very, very smart. Like, that, they will float to the top of your feed what they know you want to see.
Yeah.
So Instagram knows I want to see Karen. Oh, I'm not saying I don't want to see Karen. I don't even know we're friends on Instagram. I don't know, but my point is, the first example you gave was something entertaining, right?
Yes.
So I think that's the way all of this content has gone, the short form content. Like, 10 years ago, if you did a video like that, it would be very effective because it would be a really nice, well-produced video. I'll give you two examples. I'm starting to do video with East Coast Roast and just my personal stuff after years and years of not wanting to do it because I fucking suck at it and it's so
bloody difficult. Welcome to 2024, the guy who wrote the marketing book.
I put a professional video of East Coast Roast that I got these guys to do who do the professional photos, right?
Yeah.
They did this awesome video. It's beautiful. Showed the coffee, showed the new packaging. It's amazing. That got 400 views. And then I did a video of me making latte art that looked like absolute shit.
Yeah, and that was cool.
That's almost up to 40,000 views.
On TikTok?
On Instagram, on my own Instagram, 40,000. It's up to 39,000 views. And not only that, and I'm not saying this to show off or anything, it's this fucking stupid video. It's probably half of the people don't know. But I've actually gone to see customers and they've mentioned the fact that they've seen this video.
Mm.
And I think that's the direction it's going in. That's the direction content is going in, is it's like it favors entertaining stuff, weird, stupid stuff, people being vulnerable, people being controversial. All that kind of shit is what gets to people's feeds. Like, that video there is, I can tell you right now, is not getting into my social media feed.
Because it's not eliciting that much of an emotional response for people who are outside of the beer scene. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, the question is, will people in the beer scene use it as a way to do more content that will get people's attention?
If I reckon if Will Tatchell had just shot that video and just raw posted it up onto Instagram without all the fancy editing and that sort of thing, that would have been more real, you know?
I think you've exactly captured my point.
To have it real and not so manicured and overproduced. It's very easy. It's very easy to go down that path of overproduction. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself with a lot of the stuff that I do with Rockstar. I'm trying to simplify it and that sort of thing.
Did you see the Neuralink video that just got shared?
No.
So Neuralink, the first video the first like significant video, at least the first that I've seen. I've seen it all over my feed. Oh, it's here. It goes for 9 minutes, so it's not short form content.
Right. But
it's a basically a selfie video. The guy looks like he's not even got his phone on a tripod. It looks like he's holding, probably can't see it, but it looks like he's holding the phone while he's talking to the first person who's got the Neuralink trans thing in his head. I'm not sure what it's called. But this is like a massive multi-billion dollar company that's putting chips in people's brains. And the first bit of content they put out is this shitty quality selfie video just with the dude who's chatting to the guy who's got the thing in his brain. It shows him like playing chess with his brain. Yep. It's fucking amazing. I just watched 9 minutes of this shit.
Yeah.
And that's where content is going. For better or worse, that's where content is going.
Was that TikTok?
That's Twitter, X.
Well, of course, Elon's going to promote his own shit on his own platform.
I've seen it all over. I mean, I even just screenshots of it. I've seen it's got 11.4 million views. This was from 12 hours ago. Neuralink only have 1.3 million followers. So this is what I'm talking about. Like this is the shit. Social media algorithms have figured out what people really actually want, and people don't want overproduced professional shit.
No, they just want it raw and real.
Yeah. Not to say it's not good for other things. Like, you know, it might be really good for convincing the government to start Beer Australia or you know, a whole bunch of other things. But
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think the RBA have done a good job there, and I hope that it's the start of more stuff to come, and I'm very excited about that.
Fellow listener, join us in the facebook.com/groups/BossandTheBrewer, and you can give us your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget to answer the password when you join.
Oh, yeah. Kylie Lethbridge joined a month ago and no one noticed. So I don't know if you saw that.
Well, yeah. Whoops. And yeah.
But I noticed she didn't answer the questions, right? So is that why you didn't let her in?
I don't know. I was just like, I forgot.
Okay. Well, it's a loose operation in there, but
yeah, exactly. We're not getting paid here.
You sent me this one.
Yeah, Dan, I thought it was an interesting one.
You probably know the names better than me. Why don't you read
it? No, I don't actually. I don't know who these people are at all.
Oh, okay. So Dan Imdiki and Jason Pratt acquire Cicerone certification program.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting one. Ray Daniels, who pretty much wrote a lot of books about brewing and beer service and stuff like that, brewing classic styles, that sort of thing, started the Cicerone program in, I think it was 2008 or something like that. And he sold Cicerone to these two guys who are master Cicerones, which is a very, very tough qualification to get. And I'm pretty sure that that Ray Daniels is going to retire. He probably should. And I thought it was very good. I wonder what the new owners will do with Cicerone. It's very much it's had a positive effect on beer service and the interest, you know, for consumers being interested in beer and that sort of thing, which I think is really good. In my opinion, can be a little bit hoity-toity at times and stuff like that, but I think Cicerone does a good thing getting good beer service is not a difficult thing to do. I mean, how many times have you walked into a bar or a restaurant and that sort of thing, and you know, had dirty glasses or dirty beer lines, or you know, the person serving you didn't know what beer to match with the food and all that sort of thing. I mean, these are important skills that need the hospitality needs.
Difficult too, really difficult with staff turning over and.
Exactly. Yeah. Gives hospitality staff a career pathway and some a form of formal education, and I think it's good. Yeah, but we'll see what happens as the new owners get on board and how they go and change things up.
Yeah, no, I like it too. Sounds good. Good luck to them. This is not so much a news story. I just thought this was interesting because we were talking about the voluntary administrations and you were being quite positive about it, which is good. But I've seen a couple of posts like this. This was a post in BT Underground from Ryan Causland, who's from Brendale.
Brendale Brewing, yeah.
It's a screenshot of Bluestone Yeast basically emailing their customers saying the prices are going up. And one of the reasons they cite is the fact that they're not getting paid by some of the companies going into voluntary administration. And we've talked about that as a consequence, and I thought it was worth mentioning.
Look, that message there from Bluestone basically says that they're experiencing things that the rest of the industry is experiencing, in that in rising costs, raw materials, lab consumables, energy, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then the bit that was circled, that Ryan circled there, is a separate sentence, right? It doesn't, I don't think it's being read right. Raising their prices because of the increased credit risk. They said, you know, we have reached a point where it's no longer sustainable for us to maintain our current pricing. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
We have also seen increasing incidents of insolvency and uncollectible account balances has resulted in significant losses, which necessitates changes to our credit policy. That's a separate thing.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So a change to the credit policy is not saying, because of the losses, we're raising our prices.
The next sentence is there, because that's possibly in relation.
It's probably the details on it and that sort of thing, but I'm not on their mail list. So I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a I think that Bluestone are addressing two separate issues there. It probably could have done well with a little bit of punctuation and put it as a separate paragraph.
They probably don't listen to this podcast. They needed a colon, maybe.
Yeah, Derek listens to the podcast.
Okay, well, Derek, get your colon game on point.
No, get your colon, Derek. Get your paragraph, your hard returns. Right. You need your hard returns.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Like when I was in school, they taught us how to use the fucking mechanical typewriter. Two spaces after the full stop. Two spaces after the full stop. No,
that's stupid. You don't need to do that. People don't need to use capitals anymore. You know the guy from ChatGPT, he doesn't use capitals ever. He doesn't like to tweet in lower cases. Like, they're pointless. They don't do anything. Fine.
Yeah.
Use of today.
I think good grammar and good punctuation is a available skill to have in this modern day and age where technology makes it. You know, you can fuck up so many things in a sentence.
Oh yeah.
Without the right punctuation, you know.
Well, I mean, would you go so far as to say that it was a bit deliberately misleading? Do you think that they've got that grouped in with
that statement?
Like, are they putting it in there to sort of make it sound like, you know, this has happened and therefore it's a reason for us to put up our prices?
No.
No.
I think it's two separate things that he's addressing. Right. Increased in costs means we've got to raise our prices.
Right.
Increase in the frequency of, you know, insolvencies, got to change our credit policy. I think they're two separate statements.
Right. Fair enough. Needs a new paragraph, probably. Possibly.
Yeah. Just put a new paragraph in there and no one's going to raise it.
Nice. All right. Next item, beer muter this Saturday. You put this in here as well. You always sneak one in there without
I snuck it in. So if you are in Brisbane, the south side of Brisbane, this Saturday, beer muter is coming up. So it used to be the beer muter triangle.
Yeah.
Till Hiker opened up, and now it's the beer muter parallelogram.
And I think it's their biggest day of the year, isn't it, Hiker? They do a real big day on
Yeah, they do it twice a year. So basically it's Hiker, Ballistic and Salisbury, Slipstream and Helios. All four brewery, and they basically are starting out, I think it's 1 or 1:30 PM. They run a bus between free bus, incidentally, all the breweries and go and try all the beers. I think some of the breweries have got some releases, brand new releases just for Bermuda. Get on it. I'm going. Adam Shell's going. And nice. Well, because he works at Ballistic and that sort of thing. I saw Adam Shell today.
Permanently at Hiker. Did the guy try to hit on you at the post office?
No.
Okay, just clarifying.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. He still thinks I'm cute, but no, he wasn't hitting on me.
Nice.
Anyway, I saw Adam Shell today.
At Hiker.
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant. See, I think that part of the craft beer thing is awesome. That's where the value is, I feel. That's really cool. I'm not going because I've got walls to fix at Stabrador, but...
I didn't know you bought that place.
Yeah, that's our new house.
So, yeah. Congratulations. That's so cool. Is there any renovations going to be happening?
I would not refer to them as renovations.
Okay, what would you refer to them as?
Well, it's an absolute shithole. It's actually, the funniest thing about the whole thing is, you know how Erin is like massively into food. Like she used to run restaurants. She's a great cook. Yeah. She's like a real foodie.
Yes.
I'm really into food as well. Like we're into it together.
Yep.
We took possession of the house without doing an inspection, right? Because the guy didn't reply back to me.
I'm sorry,
and,
what?
Well, I'd looked at it. We looked at it a long time ago when we bought it. But we bought it last year, like ages ago. Like it was like a 3-month settlement. But we didn't do an inspection before settlement, and it was a proper hoarder's house. Like the worst I've ever seen in like a
as in junk everywhere and everything.
Junk everywhere, like insane amounts of junk.
Like as in the TV show.
Like the TV show, but all outside. Well, all inside as well, but mainly outside.
Yeah, right.
So like there was two old rusted Land Cruisers.
And you knew this. You knew this.
Oh, yeah. We went and looked at it. Yeah.
And then you went and didn't do a pre-settlement inspection.
No, we did not. No. Too busy, you know. Got some coffee to make. Got latte out to practice. Anyway, we drove past the day before.
That and doesn't count.
There was four trucks out the front. Well, four ute/truck/trailers out the front. There was still shit everywhere. There was a caravan. There was like a boat, I think. The trucks were completely jacked full. Like it's like they were taking all this stuff to wherever they're moving to, which is apparently like the Northern Territory. Anyway, the funniest part about the whole thing is we finally got in there the next day, and there's no stove in the kitchen, and I was like, Aaron's like, the fuckers took the stove, like they left a whole bunch of shit we didn't want them to leave, but then we're like, they took the stove, and there was like a brown copper pipe coming up out of the floor, and like that stove must have been there, it must have been a gas stove, And then I like looked underneath the house and I followed the pipe down. I'm like, that goes to the hot water system. That's just water. That's not a gas stove. And so I looked back through all the photos from realestate.com and they actually didn't have a stove.
You bought a house without a stove?
Yeah. And without even noticing.
Are you going to, are you going to do it up or?
No, we're going to live there. So,
I know, but are you going to do it up, though?
No, I'm going to do as little as possible and then hopefully eventually knock it down.
Just put a fucking stove in first.
We need more than a stove. It's missing walls. It doesn't have a sink in the bathroom, doesn't have a door on the bathroom door, doesn't have a cupboard, doesn't have a stove. It's got one toilet.
No, so you're shitting with the door open?
Yeah, if we were to live there right now, you would be shitting with the door open, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I do that normally anyway because I live by myself and I can't.
Yeah, there's five of us here at any one time, so it's going to be a fun little adventure.
When are you moving in?
Well, we told the real estate agent 3 weeks if they can rent this place out. If they can't, we've got a lease here until August. So
they're not going to have a problem with renting your place out. There's just housing shortage.
Yeah, they've jacked the rent up by $150 a week though, and we only moved in here like 7 months ago. So I think they're just taking the piss. They're just kind of like, well, you guys are going to have to pay anyway, so we'll just jack it up and hope they get more.
That's not how it works when you want to break a lease.
It's pretty dodgy, I feel.
It's like it's your responsibility to find an alternative tenant to paying the same rent, so they're not at a loss. If they want to jack the rent up, that's on them.
Well, I emailed them about this. I said, like, this seems like this a real bad situation for us to be in because we're paying you as the agent to market it, but you're jacking the rent up.
You're jacking the price up. No, that's not how it works, man. No, no. You just can't put the landlord in a like a financially negative position, right? So if, for example, let's say it was like there was a glut of rental housing on the market, and the only person that you could find to take over the lease in your place was only prepared to pay $100 less, you would be responsible for that $100 for the remainder of the lease.
I'd be cool with that. Better than $1,000.
Yeah, but when you flip it around the other way, not your problem.
Mm. Well, she said if they don't get what they're asking, they'll reduce the price. But
that's bullshit.
I feel like this is not gonna lease it at that price, and it's just gonna
just check the check fair trading, mate. That's kind of where it falls under.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they might be being dodgy. It feels dodgy.
Actually don't know the real estate agent. Real estate agents are just dodgy.
Called Little Real Estate. They're in Mermaid Beach.
Oh, they're the worst.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So did you take photos of your place when you moved in?
Some. It's a bit of a shithole, to be honest, this house.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Those guys are notorious for just going, oh, see that bond? We're having that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They are, that particular company is my nephew had the problem and all that sort of stuff. So you basically
I need my bond back so I can buy a door for my fucking toilet.
Yeah, good luck. Not happening. I guarantee you they will attempt to take all the bond.
Oh no.
And you're going to be up shit creek. So you need to make sure that
we gave them a lot of bond too. They asked for like double the bond. It's a lot of money. Why? Yeah. I don't know. But we needed a place to live and I fucking agreed to it. So
but the bond goes to the RTA, they don't hold the bond.
No, it's with the RTA.
Okay, so all right, here's what you do, mate. Right, when you, I'm going to give you the plan, right?
Okay,
I've rented a lot of places. Okay, right. When you go to leave, right, and I would give yourself about 5 days of buffer time from when you hand the keys back to when they are allowed to take possession of the place, right? So you're still paid up, right, until that point. And they're not allowed to let someone else move in until that date has arrived. So you make sure that you have the place cleaned and spotless, like fucking spotless, right? And take photos and when everything's done, clean the blinds, clean everything. Just don't give them an excuse at all. Get a professional cleaner if you have to. And just don't give them an excuse. Take photos of everything. Take close-up photos of everything, windowsills, blinds, all that sort of shit. There's dust, they will ping you for it, right?
Mm.
What you do is when you hand the keys back, right, you get on your phone as soon as you walk out the door of Little Real Estate and you put in the claim for your bond.
Okay.
Right? You claim it, right?
Yeah.
Because basically what happens is they've got 14 days, I think, from when you make the claim to dispute you getting the full bond back.
Okay. Right?
And don't mention it to them. Don't say I'm claiming the bond. Just walk in, hand the keys back, walk outside, get on the phone, claim your bond.
We're assuming they don't listen to this podcast.
have your bond notice ready and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And have your bond notice so that you can fill out the form as soon as you get back in the car after you leave the thing, claim the bond at that moment, right? You've got 5 days, right, where they will come back to you and say, oh, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. Right.
Yeah.
And you've got some time to rectify it.
Right.
Because if you move out too late and the new tenant has moved in, you don't get an opportunity to rectify it. They will take money off you.
I see. Okay.
Right.
What if the new tenant is real slack with their condition report? Will they just give us the bond back anyway? Or the real estate agent will do the condition report anyway, right?
Not nothing. Their property condition report has got nothing to do with your tenancy.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the agent
property condition. So you would have, and I hope you still got this on file, your property condition report when you moved in.
Totally.
Did you go around the house when you moved in and say, this is fucked?
Yeah.
You know, whenever I move into a place, you pick the fucking place apart.
Yeah, it was a bit tricky with this house because it is an old, it's a knockdown of the house.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Then you write down old, dusty, cruddy,
damaged,
scuffed, you know, all that sort of stuff, because they're going to, the real estate agents can do that to you back.
Mm.
Right? So you do it to them when you move in. See, the thing is, right, is that people get caught in this whole, oh, we've got a house. Oh, it's so cool. Not realizing that not doing the paperwork and the due diligence up front and being absolute and being brutal with your entry report.
Yeah.
Right? That's what covers your ass when you leave.
No, I did. So they did an entry report and they said stuff like, you know, one of the doors at the back is a bit squeaky. And I would write, like, take photos of it. And I'd say, this door literally doesn't close. This one is rusted. This one is bent. I've got too many things I could list here. I'm just listing, like, some of the things that are way worse than the way you're presenting it.
Yep.
The way they presented
it. And you sent that through?
I sent it through to them, but I didn't list absolutely everything because, honestly, there were so many things. It was like, I hopefully got the point across that this house is in much worse condition than they were claiming.
Yep.
And there was some detail, but not every detail.
And also, don't do anything verbally with them. Always in writing. Yeah. Always in writing. Hand your keys back. Make your bond claim straight away. They'll probably call you or something saying, oh, this isn't right, that isn't right. And they'll probably do it at the last minute because they've got someone new moving in and not give you a chance. So maybe what you could do is email them 2 days later and say, is there anything that needs to be rectified in writing? And if they don't get back to you like that, then they haven't given you the opportunity to rectify. And you've shown, because what's going to happen, mate, is it very highly likely it's going to wind up a QCAT in 18 months' time.
Yeah.
And how real estate companies like this, how they work, right, is they just wear you down and you go, oh, it's too hard. It's only like, you know, it's only $1,500 or something in bond. Oh, I couldn't give a shit. And if you don't dispute it, then they keep the money.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that's what you're up for.
I will take your advice. This is real renting advice and I will take it.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So don't just be just that. Yeah. I'll talk to you more offline and probably use a lot more swear words, but yes.
Okay. I appreciate it. Should we do?
How do we get on to that? I was talking about Bermuda.
Should we get on to Hendo Reacts?
Yeah.
Make sure you share sound. Share sound? Very important on the first Hendo Reacts, which is the Hendo Reacts surprise.
This is the surprise. Is that it?
Did you see it? Share sound? Make sure you got sound.
Yes. I've shared sound. Right. It's Google Drive. Hendo Reacts theme jingle. What have you done?
Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back. It's time to relax. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He's just a guy like you and me. He just knows more about beer and he does Hendo Reacts. It's a scooter that he jets upon, uses the podcast to flex it on. He paints his house half lexicon for Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back. It's time to relax. When judging beer, he'll sniff and sip. He loves to go on a field trip. At 60 years, he's quick with wit on Hendo Reacts. He wears no hats because he's bald. He's got snipped down. He has no balls. He likes to overshare with y'all on Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back. It's time to relax. Hendo Reacts.
What the fuck? How did you do that? How did they know so much about me? Who are they? I've got so many questions right now. What the fuck was that?
It was my surprise. Do you like it?
I love it. It's great. But how did you do it? You got friends in the music industry?
No. I started reading a book about songwriting because it's a topic I'm interested in. And I was like, I want to write a song about something. And I couldn't think of anything to write a song about. And so I thought, why don't we do it like a theme song for the podcast? And then that just popped into my head. And then I thought, well, there's probably like someone on Fiverr I could pay to record it for me, because I don't really know how to play the keyboard and the sing and all that kind of shit. So I wrote that in about 5 minutes, and then I voice recorded it, but like me singing it, and I sent it to a guy on Fiverr to record. And that's when he came back with first go.
Wow. That's impressive, man. That's so cool.
It gets in your head too, because I've played this for quite a few people, not in our network, like friends.
Yeah.
It gets in your head. This song has been in my head for 3 weeks straight.
I see this going to the fucking Spotify number one, mate.
Yeah, maybe I can put it out on the...
I've never had a song episode written about me before. This is way better than the guy calling me cute today.
Yeah, there you go. Could have been a birthday present.
Holy shit, that's insane. So good. So good. Well done, mate.
So we'll have it at the start of the segment, just a little bit, you know, just the main chorus bit, not the whole thing.
Not all 1 minute and 5 seconds.
Yeah, but I'll play it at the end of the show.
You wrote the lyrics and the music.
Yeah, just in my head, I was just humming it along, and then I sung it just in a real bad audio, like voice note thing. The deal was, because it cost me about $150. Mm. Business expense, you know, marketing. But there's guys on Fiverr who will like create a jingle for you. And I listened to like a bunch of them. I literally only spent about 5 minutes on Fiverr just scrolling through, listening to them. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the sound I want. And I just messaged him and said, I don't want you to write a jingle. I've already written it. I will just sing it to you. And all you have to do is record it. But it's twice as long as the jingle that's part of your package.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, if I don't have to write it, I just have to record what you send me. I'll just charge you the same as the 30-second version.
Yeah, sick.
So, yeah. I'm glad you like it.
It's so good. So good, mate. I love it. Thank you. All right. We're doing the next one.
HR2.
Does any of these others need sound?
Probably. I actually can't remember what they are. You know, last week I was going on about people sending me all of these, and I was so grateful for all the people sending them to me.
Yes, yes.
Zero people sent me Hendo Reacts this week.
Ah, well, now we've got a song. Maybe we might get more people.
I think so, definitely.
You could do like a weekly post in the Facebook.
Yeah. We need a video for it. I'll do a reaction
an
video.
AI video. I've got paid ChatGPT now. I'm pretty sure it does video.
Oh, nice. You should listen to the podcast he just did with Lex Friedman. Very interesting.
Yeah.
The ChatGPT guy, yeah. Oh, that's just a screenshot.
Okay. So Peaky Blinders creator is developing a new show about the Guinness dynasty.
Mm.
A new Netflix drama from the creator of Peaky Blinders, Stephen Knight, is apparently in development. It will follow the House of Guinness, explore the fallout from the death of Benjamin Guinness, the grandson of brew founder Art Guinness. It'll be set in New York and Dublin in the 19th century. And someone's comment is, instead of Peaky Blinders, it's the Creamy Pinters. Oh, I've got to read the comments now. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's cool, huh?
Someone says, ain't no fecking way.
That dude's definitely not going to be in it, though. That dude's way too famous now.
No, he's way too famous.
Yeah.
Oh, this is... what a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, that's good. And not good for Guinness when everyone realises the family was a bunch of loyalists. Oh, I was married into an Irish... like Irish family. Boy, oh boy. All the troubles. Anyway, what do we get out next?
Understand this. Things are now in motion that cannot be undone.
That's it.
Understand this.
I get it. Sorry, that took
Things
me a minute.
Are now in motion that cannot be undone.
Once I've had my first beer. Very cool. Very, very cool. All right, HR4. Let's go. Endo reacts. I can sing it all my
head. Yeah, there you go. It's in your head.
Endo reacts.
That's it. It's a photo.
Finally finished my shower. Oh, it's a shower beer. Oh my god, it looks like an AI thing, but
it does look like AI, doesn't it? That's pretty cool though.
That's like a basically it's a glass display fridge inside a shower.
Yeah. That's legit.
I like it. Would you? Yes. You got renos coming up. It's some inspiration. Oh,
you know the funny thing about this house is the whole inside and outside of the house is a complete piece of shit, except for the bathroom, which is about 80% renovated. And by 80%, I mean all the tiling's done. It's got a new ceiling. It's got a brand new shower with a massive shower head. It's got a clawfoot bath. It's got a brand new vanity, but no sink. Floor tiles are all done. It's like an immaculate bathroom that's not finished in a complete piece of shit house. And it also has, you know, the other week how we were talking about shower beers, and I was saying in my last house, had a little nook in the shower that you like a little ledge.
Yeah, yeah. Put your shower beer, yeah.
It's got that. So I'm good.
Sick.
That's all you need.
But that's it. You got no fucking stove.
No. No sink, no steam, no stove.
Yeah, yeah.
No balls.
I think we need to talk about an important topic.
Okay, right. Go on.
The Australian Grand Prix this weekend.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even put that in there.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
And I still was thinking about jumping on a plane and going down and spending an exorbitant amount of money on a ticket, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, that would
I'm
going to
have some friends around, going to fire up the barbecue.
What time
beers,
is it on at a time that you can watch it?
Yeah, it's daytime. Yeah, so it'll be like the race will be at like 2 p.m. or something like that, 3 p.m.
I'm checking right now. This is checking. On Sunday, right? Quali on Saturday during the day?
Quali Saturday, 3 p.m.
Oh my god, that's so
during
awesome.
Bermuda. Yep.
During my
so what
my
am I going to be doing?
Station. Oh, that's cool.
I'm gonna sit on my ass on Sunday, have some mates around, fire up the barbecue. I'm gonna make something really cool on the barbecue. I've got this really cool idea.
Can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but I've had a mate make them for me before. So basically, you get a baguette, right? And then you scoop out some of the white part of the bread and you put in some seasoned pork mince. Oh, sorry, so cheese, provolone cheese.
Yeah.
And then some pork mince on top. And then you cook it upside down. So the meat cooks and melts the cheese at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then you take it off the barbecue and then you put some chimichurri on it.
I definitely should know what chimichurri is. Is that like the green shit?
Yeah, that's the green shit.
That sounds good. That's the kind of
maybe,
shit I watch on TikTok.
Maybe some, I'll post photos.
Hell yeah. Good
I just
content.
Had that idea in my head, and I'm like, yeah, that's good. So, yeah.
Nice. I need all the barbecuing advice I've got because I do have a barbecue and I do not have a stove. So,
right. Well, that's where you're going to be doing all your cooking, I think.
Yeah, I'll take the barbecue advice.
So,
oh, I'm so excited
now. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend, mate. Don't plan to do anything.
I'll be fucking trying to fix this bloody house. But you know the other cool thing about the house?
What's that?
It's got a pool.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm so fucking excited. So I could technically I could be sitting by the pool watching the F1 this Saturday.
Watching the Grand Prix?
Yeah. Well, Sunday. Yeah.
That's a great idea. It's gonna be pretty good weekend. How are we looking? Who you think's gonna make it out?
You mean like second place?
Yeah, not first. We know who's going to get first.
Yeah. I don't know. I would just like to see Piastri go well again. So I hope McLaren are good. Ricciardo needs a better race than he had last race, but that would only require him to not come third last.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferrari, I'd like to see doing well because, you know, they're probably the most likely to compete with Red Bull across the season.
I think this week, my prediction, and I've been pretty well spot on so far this season, I think.
Yeah.
With Ferrari doing much better, and I think we're going to see, I honestly think we're going to see, this is going to be the week we're going to see a bloody Red Bull 1-2 again.
Oh, of course, yeah. Perez has started the season well. He's looking pretty good.
Started the season well. But I think knowing the track, the way that I know the track, I think we'll actually see Mercedes do pretty well this week.
Why is that? It's a high-speed track, right?
It's not a high-speed track. It's like lots of long sweeping corners and all that sort of stuff, and some you know, 90-degree corners and all that sort of thing. You know, the straight itself is not that long.
No, but apparently there's 4 DRS zones, which I don't know if that's like a new change. I started listening to the podcast.
Yeah,
today,
no, but they bumped it up to 4. That was the thing they did last year. Right. 4 DRS zones.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. Last year's race when I was there at turns 1 and 2, where it was just a war zone. It was just the best place to sit. Yeah, loved it. And I think we'll see Mercedes do well this week.
All right. Well, that'd be good. Do well as in challenge the
Ferrari will do well as well, but I think Mercedes will do particularly well, and hopefully Hamilton will go okay this week. I think, but George will be the one to watch.
Yeah, I'm a George fan. I'm on board. Who do you go for out of the people? Like, if you were to go for, I mean, you'd probably go for the Aussies, but would you go for anyone? Like, Science last year was kind of your guy.
Still is. I've got a Ferrari, 2 Ferrari caps, mate. What do you think I'm going to be wearing on Sunday?
So you're still going for Science?
Yeah.
In his last year with Ferrari after getting fired.
Absolutely. He's got something to prove.
Yeah, he's good. He started well.
He's got something to prove. He is on fire because he's got something to prove. Because he wants to keep his job. He wants to keep a seat in Formula One.
Oh, he'll keep a seat. No question about it. He'll get a good seat.
I don't think he'll go to Mercedes. I don't think he'll go to Red Bull.
Oh, why wouldn't he go to Red Bull? I think that would be great.
Maybe.
I think that would be great. He's a better driver than Perez.
I'm really looking forward to silly season this year.
It's going to be mental.
It's going to be wild because it's only like, I think everyone's up for renewal.
Yeah, there's 11, I think. 11 seats total.
Yeah, 11 seats up for contracts up or something like that. It's going to be a wild time this year.
You know, considering Science and Red Bull drive.
Considering from last year to this year, I think was the first season since 1953 or something like that where no seats changed.
Yeah, I love it when seats change. It's fucking awesome.
We're in for a wild ride. It's going to be amazing to watch.
Did you end up watching the Drive to Survive?
I'm getting through it, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't finished it yet. But I've also been watching Life on Mars, too.
What's that?
So it's not the fucking American one, the British one from BBC. I think it was in 2006. So basically it's about a police officer in 2006 who gets hit by a car and he wakes up and he's in 1973. So think 1973 British policing with all of the sexual harassment and thuggery and corruption and trumped up charges and all sorts of stuff, and how a cop from the noughties deals with that.
Interesting. Okay.
And so basically he basically says, am I dead in a coma or have I actually traveled back in time? And it kind of leaves a lot of things open as to, you don't know which is which, what's happening.
Oh,
and okay. It's really good. It's on Amazon Prime. So if you've got Prime, it's really, really good. It's funny. It's quite engaging. And then, so there's 2 seasons of that. And then there's 2 seasons of, there's a sequel show called Ashes to Ashes. And it's about a similar story, but it's about a chick who winds up in the 80s, a female police officer who winds up in the 80s.
These are both David Bowie songs, aren't they? Those 2 titles?
They are both David Bowie songs, yes.
There you go.
Because that's the whole thing. So we're basically, Life on Mars, when he gets hit by the car and he wakes up and he walks into town, and it's just that montage of him walking through a typical British high street in 1973 in Liverpool. And it's just like the Life on Mars is just blaring and you just go, damn, this guy's well out of his depth. So
nice.
It's very, very cool. So I do recommend watching it. So
All right. Well, once MASH finishes, which is great, I think it's coming to an end next week.
Awesome soundtrack, by the way, as well. Really, really good soundtrack. So, what's that?
Yeah, once MASH finishes, which I think is next week.
MASH, yeah.
I'm
then you've got something to watch.
I've got something to watch.
Aaron will be into it too.
I'll get 4 days a week free once MASH finishes. It's a 4 day commitment, MASH. Every day for 4 days. It's an unbelievable amount of content. You know what I mean?
I don't know how you do it.
It's just quality. It's quality over quantity. That's why. Mm-hmm. It's quality and quantity, actually.
Yeah. Have we got 12 questions?
We've got 12 questions. Every week I post in the group and I ask people to ask a serious question with good punch.
And I try not to look at it and people tag me and I'm like, right. Don't tag me.
Yeah, don't tag Hendo. He's not supposed to look at it. The Bluestone use guy don't look at it either because the punctuation isn't strong. But we have a bit of a loose rule that you have to say question colon and then question after that. You can mess with it a little bit. Some people are creative, but that's normally the format. So, Adam Shaw, question: who's coming to Bermuda this Saturday? There you go.
Me.
Hendo's coming. I am not coming, but it sounds like a good time. Robert Townsend, no question, but just saying that I drove to Queensland this week and stopped at Common People, great spot, Crumbin Valley, awesome. King Tide. Where's King Tide? I think I've been there. Where's King Tide?
Not sure.
King Tide, I'll look that one up. And Woolgoogut, awesome spot as well.
Super impressed with
all of them. Beer and pizza at Common were amazing. I've said that on the show. Honestly, the best brew pub. It's the perfect brew. Common People is the perfect brew pub. Bangalore.
Yeah, right, okay.
Fucking awesome pizza, amazing fit out, beautiful, great beer. That's all you need. It's
light music. I'm going to ride a motorbike with Smokey. Awesome. Go check it out.
Yeah, but all of those places are really good. So, yes, good call.
Yeah.
Very good. We're over. That's a field trip. That is field trip advice.
That would be a good field trip.
Yeah. Louis G, question colon. Are we going to see another 1-2 by Red Bull this Sunday? What's your prediction for third place? Yeah, we didn't specifically answer that, but are you saying Lewis for third?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think George for third.
Mm. Okay. I'll say science.
Mm-hmm.
Question two is Moondog Old Mate Power worth $26 for 10 cans at Aldi?
Yes.
$27 for 6-pack of BWS. Wow.
Did you say 10 cans?
10 cans at Aldi for
$27.
$26. Fucking oath it is.
Absolutely that is. The new venue, the Franco Cozzo in Footscray is opening on the 12th of April.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about Moondog recently. I wonder how they're going.
I was in Broadsheet, in Melbourne Broadsheet today.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go to that.
Good on them. All right. Question three. How do you make low-carb beer? What's different in the process from standard beer?
Who asked that question?
Louis G.
He got three questions.
Well, I just keep... I mean, there's only 10 total, so as long as there's not more than 12, then I just keep reading them.
Okay, that's a good question, Louis G. How you make low-carb beer is, and if you can spell it, you're doing very, very well. It's an enzyme called amyloglucosidase.
Amyloglucosidase.
Yeah. Saying it is easy. Spelling it, not so much. No. And so so amyloglucosidase is an enzyme that breaks down complex sugars, so unfermentable sugars or sugars that aren't normally fermentable by brewer's yeast, into simple sugars that are. And so basically the normal finishing gravity of, say, your standard lager or something like that's going to be like 10.09 or 2 Plato. And when you use this amyloglucosidase enzyme, or AMG, sometimes it's called, it will ferment down to zero or even less than zero, so minus 2 Plato or something like that, because ethanol is less dense than water and dries the beer right out. So if you've ever had a brute IPA, that's amyloglucosidase that makes that happen. Low-carb beers, that's what makes it happen, you know, and yeah.
Nice. So VB just chuck a bit of that in there and they're 33% lower.
VB doesn't have it in. It's not a low carb. Oh, the VB low carb.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. VB low carb. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question. Dan is still called the Danchen, or is it a new pad now called the Derenchen? Well, it's called the Derenchen. Sure. It's a complete piece of shit, though. So I guess it could be a facetious name. Sure, the Derringtin. Yeah, we'll go with that. Let's go. Go with that. All right. Oh, Stephen Kingle, how was Juicy? You didn't go, did you?
No, I didn't go, unfortunately.
No.
Because I had a ticket to the evening session. Actually, I had a ticket to the day session. It was Adam Schell's birthday. And so I went to that, and then so I bought it. I was going to go to the evening session, but then they cancelled the evening session, and yeah. So I just couldn't go. So never mind. Yeah,
that's fair. Stephen Kegel, question with a question mark and then a colon. That's cool. I like that little innovation there. Who likes Canoe? Double question mark. And then he's got a picture here of a classic lager beer, Canoe Lager, 5% Solomon Breweries. You familiar with this beverage?
No.
Neither.
Never heard of it.
Neither. Is it Solomon Islands?
Maybe.
Solomon Breweries.
What's it called? Canoe Lager.
Canoe.
As in Solomon like Breweries, the type of Canoe boat. Lager.
Small white bubbly head. Canoe, yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's brewed in the Solomon Islands.
Oh, yeah. Solomon Islands, there you go. Fuck yeah. Get a canoe in
Solomon India. Island Breweries. Yeah, okay.
2.7 on Untapped.
Never tried it.
2.3 on...
Oh, there's Canoe Lager and Canoe Lager Classic and Canoe Lager Blue.
Well, he's referring to the classic, but I mean, I suppose you could have either one and still answer the question.
Sure. Yeah.
Solomon Airlines. There you go. I've never.
I mean, it's the old Monty Python thing, really, isn't it?
I don't really know that at all.
What do they call it? What was the joke that they did? What do they call American beer? Is American beer like sex in a canoe? Fucking okay. Close to water.
Okay, that's good. I've never heard that before. That's good.
Haven't you?
No. Yeah, Solomon Islands might be the only place you haven't been to in the world. I'm guessing you haven't been there.
Not this year.
All right. Field trip episode to Canoe Brewing. all right. Jason Stevenson, why don't breweries focus on relationships with retailers?
Oh, they do.
Does he mean like a local independent bottle shop or majors?
Not sure, but they do. That's
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you've got to ask yourself, why is it worth putting the effort into it, because you're selling your beer at the lowest possible margin on the longest possible credit terms? What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. I know when I worked at Black Ops, we had a huge focus on retailers. Kernsey was a big part of that early on. And he kind of just brought that. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing early on. And he kind of brought that to us. He was like, you know, all these bottle shops, if you go there with these activations, these bollard covers, you know, free key rings, little tags on the doors, all that kind of stuff, they're all really receptive to it. And it was a massive unlock for us. And not just the independent bottle shops, but the major bottle shops whose staff were very into the idea, but it wasn't done like officially through the major's channels. It was basically just go to the local BWS, have a good relationship with them. And they would just chuck the bollard core flutes up. They would chuck the A-frame out the front. Didn't have to pay for any of it, just based on purely on relationship alone. And that was a massive, massive unlock. So I think breweries do, maybe not ones that don't have a lot of distribution, but it's a good idea to do that for sure. All right. This is where the Hendo Reacts jingle plays us out, Hendo.
Is it?
That's it.
Are we singing it or?
It's just in my head constantly. So I just,
okay,
but I need to
Hendo
sing
React. Hendo React. So you can just fade into it.
Like... I will. Even my kids are singing.
Well done. Well done, mate. I really love that. And yes, we'll put it on Spotify.
Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back. It's time to relax. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He's just a guy like you and me. He just knows more about beer and he does Hendo Reacts. It's a scooter that he
jets upon, uses the podcast to flex it on. He paints his house half lexicon for Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts, Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts, Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back, it's time to relax. When judging beer, he'll sniff and sip. He loves to go on a field trip. At 60 years, he's quick with wit on Hendo Reacts. He wears no hats because he's bald. He's got slipped down, he has no balls. He likes to overshare with y'all on Hendo Reacts. Hendo Reacts, Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo Reacts, Hendo Reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back, it's time to relax.